The scripture that I felt led to share with you this morning is found in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. I'll give everyone, if you'd like, a moment to turn to that. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. We read, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'But sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" May God bless this reading of His holy word. May He bless it to our hearing. May He bless it to our understanding. Not just as a text from an ancient book, but may He bless it, Lord, to see how it applies to us in this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My parents got married in 1937. Daddy was a country boy, and I do mean country, hillbilly actually. Mama was a small town mill village girl. Neither of them had ever been more than about 100 miles from home, and those were very rare, no frills visit to relatives. But a year after they got married in 1938, they decided to take what today, even today, would be considered a major vacation. They wanted to see the West. They wanted to see the Great Salt Lake and the Petrified Forest and Yellowstone National Park. So they went. Now, they told me that about their third or fourth day out, they had been riding since early in the morning. And when I say riding, that word is a deliberate choice because they were on a 1936 Harley Davidson. And by midday, they were hungry. They were somewhere in the Southwest, and they were hungry. So they started, watching for a restaurant or some place to eat. And finally, they saw a little roadside food stand. So they stopped there, and the sign at the top of it said, "Hot dogs." So they each ordered one, and they ate it, and they were still hungry. So they looked back at the menu board, and right underneath hot dogs, it had Frankfurters. Well, they didn't know what a Frankfurter was. So they decided to be adventurous and order one, and to their surprise, it was a hot dog. That's when they found out. In fact, they said the menu board up there, everything on it was hot dogs by a different name. Hot dogs, Frankfurters, wieners, conies, pigs in a blanket, tube steaks, all just different names for the same thing. They didn't get anything new that meal at all. And I tell you, Mama and Daddy would laugh when they told that story. Because you see, that event expanded their horizons. It was as if they had lived in a hole all of their lives, and suddenly they could see beyond that little hole. Well, that's what this message is about. It's about getting out of your sometimes comfortable little hole and expanding your horizons to what God would have you to see and to do. Now, we read that passage from Judges about Gideon, and I've heard plenty of sermons explaining how brave Gideon was, and I don't buy it. Here's why. We first meet Gideon in Judges chapter 6, where we read, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites." Okay, yeah. Israel was in the promised land. Yeah. But Moses was dead. Joshua was dead. The first three judges of Israel were dead. There were 12 tribes there, and they were weak, they were leaderless, and they were scared. To fit in with their neighbors, their Canaanite neighbors, they often worshiped idols rather than the one true God. And that's what it means in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, where we read, "Again," catch that, not the first time, "again, the Israelites, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And as a result, for 7 years, he," meaning God, "he gave them into the hands of the Midianites." Then we have verse 2. "Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country." So there was danger. There was reason for them to be afraid. There was no law and order. All these fierce raiders came to steal anything that wasn't nailed down. And here we have Gideon thrashing wheat in a wine press. Okay, the closest I've ever come to thrashing wheat is going to the grocery store and buying a loaf of whole wheat bread. But I do know this. I know that very, very few people in America, at least in the last couple of hundred years, have thrashed wheat the way they did way back then. What they did was first cut the wheat with a hand scythe. And then they would lay it out on a flat surface somewhere and beat it with what was called a flailing stick. And all that was two pieces of wood, maybe a foot and a half or 2 foot long each, joined by a leather thong. And they would take it and they would beat that wheat with it, and that served to separate the heads of the wheat, the kernels of the wheat, from the straw, the chaff. And then they would sweep all of that into a large, shallow basket and wait until the wind was blowing just right, a good breeze, and kind of toss it up in the air. And that breeze would catch the lighter straw and chaff and blow it away, and the kernels would fall back down. That's how they thrashed wheat back then. But notice this. Gideon is thrashing wheat in a wine press. In the ancient Middle East, a wine press was literally a hole in the ground. They would find a little hill or a rise somewhere and dig down, usually just a few inches, to bedrock. And then they would hollow out a space in that rock, usually about 6 or 8 feet deep and maybe 4 to 6 feet wide. In something like that, there's barely room to flail that wheat. And there's not going to be any breeze down there to separate it. But that's what Gideon was trying to do. That's anything but an act of bravery. And by the way, you can't see much from a hole in the ground. Judges 6:12 says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' And immediately Gideon replied, verse 13, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian." If you put what Gideon said into today's language vernacular, I think it would start with him saying, "Who, me?" Followed by, "Poor, poor, pitiful us." And finally, "I know all the old stories, but what has God done lately for us?" Hey, these are not the words of a fearless warrior. These are the words of someone who wants someone else to fight his battles for him while he stays safe in a hole in which his horizons are very, very limited. Well, just like Mama and Daddy at that little hot dog stand, what happened next begins to expand Gideon's horizons. Judges 6:14, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" Wait a minute. In verses 11 and 12, we're told it's an angel who appeared, right? And now all of a sudden we're told it's the Lord who's there. So what's going on? The Hebrew word in verse 14 that's translated as the Lord, well, what's actually there is the personal name of God. His covenant name. So there's no doubt who's being referenced there. But does that mean there were two of them there? First an angel and then God? No. Not at all. Here's what it is. The Hebrew people felt such reverence toward God's name that for as long as they could in any particular passage, they would use some euphemism rather than to either pronounce or to write God's personal name. Angel, in Hebrew, doesn't convey actually the image of an angel that we have. Angel in Hebrew simply means messenger. But now, where the rubber meets the road, they let us know that it is God Himself who's telling Gideon to get out of that hole. And in his strength, whatever strength he may have, use it to save Israel. And he did. A person can be down in a hole and have very limited horizons. But folks, God does not respect those horizons. Not when he knows the purpose. The person is capable of more than that, and he knows. He always knows. And Gideon's not the only person to have ever been down in a hole like that. Jacob's brothers threw him down into a hole, but I suggest that he was in a hole long before that. His horizon was so limited that all he saw was himself. It's the fair-haired boy who was his father's favorite. And his half-brothers were no more than red-headed stepchildren, to use a figure of speech. But God pulled him out of that hole and expanded his horizons. Moses was exiled from Egypt after committing murder, and he spent the next 40 years herding sheep in the Sinai. I say he was in a hole, and that his horizons were limited to sheep and by fear. Fear of punishment if he ever went back to Egypt. fear of embarrassment because he thought no one would listen to him. God pulled him out of that hole and expanded his horizons. I would say that Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, they had the limited horizons of fish and boats. But God had other plans for them. He pulled them out of their homes. Saul of Tarsus was a rabbi and a Pharisee. All he could see were nitpicky rules and regulations and punishment for anyone who failed to obey every one of those rules and regs. Those were his horizons from the hole where he lived. But God, Jesus, pulled him out and made the merciless persecutor, into the apostle of grace. I used to live in a hole too. I never thought I'd leave Alabama. I never thought I'd go to seminary. Never dreamed I would be a pastor. But God told me to get out of that hole, and in whatever strength I had, to pastor his people. But the real question is, are any of you in a hole? And if so, what are your horizons? I knew a man who dealt with crooks and thieves and all kinds of bad people day in and day out. And he was becoming cynical and ill-tempered. He was turning to more and more worldly things to cope and compensate. Because of that hole he was in, his horizons were becoming more and more limited. But when I asked Jesus into my heart, he pulled me out of that hole. Now, mind you, I fell into others from time to time. But Jesus was always there for me, ready to pull me out. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, my friend, then he has pulled you out of that hole. Praise God. Can I get another amen for that? Amen. Some of you may still be in that first hole, whether it's like mine, or whether it's drugs or booze or adultery or a rotten attitude or whatever. I say to you, Jesus will pull you out if you just ask him into your life. It may happen in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the way it did with Paul. Or it may take days or even years, as it did with Gideon and Jacob. But if you ask Jesus, it will happen. I have to say, too, Christians can fall into holes, either the same one they were in before or a different one. I fell into one of those holes about 3 years ago over my wife's health. My horizon became limited to her illness and her pain and the strain that it was putting on both of us. Now, that one was harder to get out of, but it wasn't too hard for Jesus. Are any of you in a hole today? I dare say COVID has put just about every church into a hole. Things will probably never be the same again as they were before that. But that doesn't mean you have to stay in that hole. Just like you were talking about with this event coming up with the in the shopping center with the kids and the backpacks. That hole simply means you have to find a new horizon, a new way of carrying out your God-given mission. Talk to Jesus about it. Ask him if you are in a hole. Talk among yourselves. Talk to Pastor Kevin about it. Now, look, neither he nor I are angels as we think about that today. But we can be messengers as the early Hebrews thought about it. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord our God, we thank you for this day and the grace which brought us here. Tell us each one, Lord, about the hole we're in. Help us, Lord, to ask you, get me out of this hole, oh Lord. Get me out. Sometimes our holes are comfortable. Sometimes we decorate them just the way we want to and get them all nice and inviting and comfortable, but that's not necessarily where you want us to be. Expand our horizons, Lord. Expand our horizons first to ask you into our heart as Lord and Savior. And then expand our horizons again and again and again to the mission you have placed before us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.